This morning's message is on losing Christ at Christmas, and for our text, we're going to look at the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2, which is that famous chapter in the Bible dealing with the birth of Christ, but reading toward the end of the chapter, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. The word holiday, as you may know, derives from two words, holy and day. And the religious holidays that we celebrate should be seen as holy days because they certainly hold great spiritual significance. And they become opportunities for each and every one of us to draw closer to Christ. But sadly, instead of capitalizing on those opportunities, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we would have to admit that during these holy days, we are actually drawing away from Christ. And that seems to be particularly true of Christmas, does it not? All the demands that are placed on us, the frenzy that ensues as a result of those demands, and I think we would all agree this morning that Christmas is one of those holidays that taxes and consumes us physically, emotionally, and dare I add, financially. And anybody say amen to that? And let's be honest, the result of which, instead of this holiday being a holy day, it's more characterized as being filled with hectic days, a frenzied pace. And when it's finally over, we're all breathing a great sigh of relief. True? But most grievous of all is the fact that Christmas, of all the holidays, of all the holy days, is indeed a holy day, because Christmas is about Christ. Christ is the anointed, holy Son of God. Christmas is a holy time as we celebrate the Christ of God coming to this earth, robed in human flesh. He who was from the beginning, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father, becoming a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. For what purpose? That he might be a human so that he could die on the cross as a human and take our place. What an amazing gift. And yet in the midst of all of the holiday, we lose sight of the holy day that it is, the coming of the Christ into this world. And instead of Christ being the focus, he has not only moved to the periphery of this holiday, but he is actually all but lost. I mean, it's just amazing. This morning, someone sent me a really beautiful Christmas message, and I wanted to return to them a Christmas Giphy. Can you imagine? I could not find in the myriads of Giphys anything that smacked at all of it being Christ's birthday. It was all jingle bells and Santa Claus, and that's how the world sees Christmas. Everywhere we look, everything that we hear, all that we see is secular and commercial and has nothing to do with Jesus. It's like Christmas has become going to someone's birthday and never even acknowledging the person whom is being celebrated. The title of the song that we heard this morning does speak volumes. Where's the line to see Jesus? We take our kids to see Santa Claus, but how much are we speaking of the Christ to our children? How much is the Christ the focus of our attention during these holidays? It is his birthday, and he is the one to be honored. And so for a few moments, I wanted to develop this theme this morning as we look at the account that Luke narrates for us in his gospel. We know the background that Mary and Joseph, as good Jewish people, would annually go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. And while they are there and choose it's time to leave, Jesus is left behind, unbeknownst to them, and they lose him. In the same way that we can lose Jesus and do lose Jesus in the midst of celebrating his birthday during this Christmas season. Now, I'm not talking about losing a relationship with Jesus, but I'm speaking about losing a fellowship with Christ. Mary, of course, still remained the mother of Jesus, did she not? Even though she lost her son. Joseph still was the daddy of Jesus, even though he had lost his son, but they were out of fellowship with him for 3 days. And I want us to know this morning, it's altogether possible for us to be in a relationship and yet not be in a fellowship. We can thank God this morning that we're in a relationship with God the Father. Jesus Christ has made that possible. Once we repent of our sins, once we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts legally, we are adopted into the family of God. We become sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But at the same time, if we do not cultivate that relationship, we can totally and entirely miss out on what it means to be in fellowship with God. Let me illustrate the difference between relationship and fellowship. And I think perhaps the most obvious example is that of marriage. Sadly, we know today that there are many, many marriages where two people may live together. Legally, they're in relationship as husband and wife, but in reality, they are living separate lives, are they not? They have separate checkbooks. They have different interests. They go their separate ways. Some of them even sleep in separate bedrooms. My friends, that is not a marriage. A marriage is when two become one. And likewise, when we became saved, the Bible says we were wedded to Christ. And as being wedded to Christ, he has invited us into an intimate relationship with him. I hope you know today that God did not save you to give you a ticket out of hell and a way into heaven. He saved you so that he might have a relationship of intimacy with you. He saved you so that he might fellowship with you. He saved you so that you might know the reality of that old him. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. and the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I want you to know that fellowship with Jesus and walking in an intimate relationship with Jesus is like no other relationship that you can have on this side of heaven. I know that I can't lose my relationship with Jesus Christ if I've placed my faith in him and committed myself to him, but I want us to be cautioned this morning that it's altogether possible to lose my connection and my fellowship with him. Think about it. Mary and Joseph, the two most unlikely people to disconnect from Jesus, and yet the Bible tells us that for 3 days they lost fellowship with him. How did they lose Jesus? The answer is very obvious. They lost him by presumption. They just assumed that Jesus was with them. Verse 44 of Luke's gospel says, but supposing him to be in the group, they traveled a day's journey. Just supposing. How is it possible for you and I, as sons and daughters of Jesus, to lose fellowship with him? It's actually quite easy. Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Some of us are very presumptuous. And we think that because 10 years ago we said a sinner's prayer, we knelt at an altar and we invited Jesus Christ into our lives, that means today we have a relationship with Jesus. You don't have a relationship, a fellowship with a person unless you cultivate that relationship, unless you spend time with that person, unless you speak to them and they speak to you. Unless you come to know them in deeper and deeper ways. And that's why in every marriage, it should be that you love your spouse more today than when you first married them. Because over the years, you've really become to know them. You could read each other's thoughts. You could finish each other's sentences. That's the fellowship that the Lord expects us to have with him. Mary and Joseph were in Jerusalem doing religious things. And we think that our doing religious things keeps us in fellowship with God. Mary and Joseph were with good people, godly Israelites in Jerusalem who were celebrating and being obedient to the commandment of God that every year at this time you celebrate the Passover. See, God never wanted his people to forget what he did for them and how he did it. And aren't you thankful to know today that Jesus is our Passover lamb? And every time we come to this communion table, we remember what Jesus did for us by laying down his life, by shedding his blood, by taking those stripes. For by them we are healed, and by his shed blood we are saved. Mary and Joseph were surrounded by religious people who faithfully made that pilgrimage to Jerusalem, but they still lost Jesus. Where do we lose Jesus? Some would be quick to say, oh, when you go to a bar, when you frequent clubs, when you go to those dens of iniquity. But I want us to know today that we don't have to be extravagant sinners to lose him. You don't have to be an adulterer. You don't have to smoke weed or snort coke to lose Jesus. You can lose him easily. Jesus was lost by his parents right in the temple. And today you could be sitting here in this church. People are worshiping all around you. And you're lip-syncing the songs, but you know in the reality of your heart, you've lost Jesus. It's a sobering thought to realize Mary and Joseph didn't even know. They didn't even recognize until a whole day had gone by. Where's Jesus? We can lose him and not even recognize it and not even acknowledge it. I think you remember the story of Samson. who thought that God's not going to leave me. I'm not going to lose him. Every time the Philistines come against me, I just shake myself. And God delivers me and shows that I'm this great deliverer of Israel. But his compromise came to a point where God said, okay, enough, Samson. You know, the Bible says God's spirit will not always strive with man. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is kind. God is forgiving. God gives us opportunities upon opportunities. But when we harden our hearts, the Bible says that that person will be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy. That's why the scripture tells us today is the day of salvation. And if you're sitting here today thinking that there will be many, many opportunities for me to make it right with God, you're sadly mistaken. Don't presume upon the grace of God. And the day came in Samson's life when his compromise got so bad that he told Delilah the secret to his anointing, and he fell asleep in her lap. And the scripture says she called out to him, "Samson, the Philistines are about to capture you." And the Bible tells us he woke up and thought, "I'll get loose as I did before, and I'll shake myself free." Some of the saddest words in Holy Writ. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. How's that possible in our lives as believers? Little by little, we're drawn away from Christ. You know, spiritual decline is really insidious. We think, oh, I could just skip devotions today. Oh, I don't have to go to church every Sunday to be equipped and built up in the faith. You know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the cares of life. It's the deceitfulness of riches. It's our small compromises. It's our complacency and our lackadaisical attitude toward the things of God. It's neglecting our spiritual disciplines that take us away from the Lord and cause us to take those baby steps that eventually cause us to find ourselves miles and miles away from God. And the end result of all of that neglect, we don't think with the mind of Christ. We don't see through the eyes of Christ. We develop a carnal mind, a fleshly mind, a worldly mind, and we become calloused, and it becomes such a picture, does it not, of the 21st century American church. Jesus describes them in the church, in the book of Revelation. They're the church of Laodicea. They were those who were just presumptuous. They were those who went to church. They were those who did all the right religious things. And they said, "I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need anything." And Jesus said, "You don't realize that you're wretched and you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked." Here's my paraphrase. You don't even realize how messed up you really are. You don't realize how far you really are away from me. You're completely oblivious. You know, it's been said that the worst ignorance that we can have in life is not to know what we don't know, especially when what you don't know is something that you really need to know. I want to ask you this morning, what is more important to know today than your standing with God, your relationship to God? You could slough that off, but as sure as I'm standing here, the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. We will all stand before God. Today we might be apathetic toward that reality. You might want to put it out of your mind, but I want you to know that day will come, and there is nothing more important for each and every one of us to know than to know that we are right with God, to know that we're in a right relationship with him, to know that there is nothing in my life that is hindering him from revealing himself to me, from me walking in the fullness of my destiny and purpose. God God gave you birth. God created you with a destiny and a purpose. I want to ask you today, are you fulfilling that purpose or are you living for yourself? Are you doing your own thing? Is it all about what I think, what I want, what I feel? Salvation comes and it's no longer about what we think, what we want, what we feel. It's now about Jesus. You gave everything for me. How can I love you? How can I serve you? How can I do your will? How can I walk in your ways? How can I be pleasing to you? Let every breath that I breathe, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted and pleasing unto you. Our eternal destiny hangs in the balance of what we know of our relationship with God today. Jesus' appeal to that church at Laodicea was, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Isn't it amazing to think? He's talking to his church. And that church, he is on the outside looking in. While they think they're having church. They're hooping and hollering, and God isn't there. They're singing words, but God isn't in them. They're going through the ritual. They're going through the form. They're going through the formality, but God is knocking and saying, I'm standing at your door. If you let me in, I will come in and fellowship with you. He said, I'll sup with you. See, there's no greater form of fellowship than, and as an Italian, I could say this, and I think most of you would agree with me, that when we get around the table, that's the best way to fellowship, to break bread together. God says, I want to feed you with food that will really nourish your soul. I want to give you a drink so that you'll never be thirsty again. I want to show you the delights of my love that you'll never long for any other kind of love. Oh, what a picture that is of the 21st century church. God help us. Mary and Joseph went a whole day's journey assuming that Jesus was with them, but with every step, they were going further and further away from Christ. And we know that the story ends well, don't we? Because 3 days later, they found Jesus. And where did they find him? Mary and Joseph found him exactly where they left him. The prodigal son was lost to his father. But where did the father find him? The same place the prodigal son left him. Jesus said to the Ephesian church in Revelation 2, if you want to be restored to what you lost, then repent. Repent. Repentance is an inward change of heart. But not just words, not just, oh, I feel so bad, but a change of life. A demonstration of going in a new direction, a change of mind, a change of how you think, a change of how your worldview is. Because now it's not about what you hear on CNN or Fox or NBC or what the movie stars or Hollywood is telling you or what the majority of people in the world are telling you. I want you to know that if you're going to follow Jesus, you are going to be in the minority. Jesus said, narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to life. There's a broad way. Most people are going in that way. That leads to destruction. But it's the narrow way. It's the way that I say no to myself. It's the way that I'll take on the reproach of Christ. People will mock me, they will shame me, they will ridicule me. But when I think that Jesus hung on that cross naked for me, how can I say I'm ashamed of him? How can I say I can't be bold and courageous to declare that he's my Lord and he is my Savior? He's worthy of our praise. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, if you want to get back to where you were, if you want to find your place in me once again, then do the first works. What are the first works? The works you did at the very beginning. He's talking about people who knew him. He's talking about people who loved him. Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember when you first found Jesus? You were oblivious to all else. All you knew was Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noon, Jesus at night. I just want to be in the Word. I just want to find time to pray. Turn that television set off. Let me get more of Jesus. I can't get... What happens when you're in love? You can't get enough of your boyfriend or girlfriend, can you? You lose sleep over them. You lose your appetite over them. It's the same when you come to Jesus. But somehow we lose that relationship and we move further and further and further away until the day we awaken and we say, my heart is cold. I go to church. I can't enter into worship. I can't feel his presence. I don't know the reality of that fellowshipping with him. Jesus says, do the first works again. Start spending time with me. Get in the Word. Love the house of the Lord. Mary and Joseph were out of fellowship with Jesus for 3 days. I know some of you here today have been out of fellowship with Jesus. Maybe it's 3 days, but more likely it's been 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years. How long has it been? And how much longer will it take before you go back? Where do we need to go back to? We need to go back to the temple. That's where God dwells. We need to go back to the secret place where he reveals himself. We need to go back to an old-fashioned prayer meeting and admit there's something wrong. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We need to go back to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I come to you just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me. And as you bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, with my sin, with my shame, with my brokenness, with my failures. God's not waiting for you to clean yourself up until you come to him. He's saying, come just as you are. And if you've lost something in God today, the Spirit of God is speaking to you. And I close this morning with this promise, spoken through the prophet Joel, where God's heart for you and for me, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. With all your heart. You need to mean business with God today. You just can't think that, oh, it's Christmas and I go to church on Christmas and the thing to do is to get a little religious around Christmas and think about, no. This is something where we're saying that, Lord, every moment of the rest of my life is dedicated to you, is committed to you. I belong to you and you belong to me. Return to me with all your heart and rend your heart and not your garments. Where are you in your relationship to Christ today? Are you walking in fellowship with him? I pray that each and every one of us would open our hearts anew and afresh. If we've lost our way, even during this Christmas holiday, if the frenzy of Christmas has so consumed us that we've not given any thought to the reality that this is about Jesus. It's about his coming. It's about the Word being made flesh and dwelling among us. Not just 2,000 years ago, but today, aren't you glad that by his Spirit, he is more real to us than he was to the disciples when he walked the earth, because he's dwelling on the inside of us, and he wants to walk with us and talk with us. Let's not lose Jesus at Christmas. Let's never lose him in our life, but every day, use that as an opportunity to draw near to him. And his promise is, you draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.